There's one more verse to that song. It goes like this: let no things of earth allure you from the way the Lord would lead. Let your life in Him be hidden. Him exalt in word and deed. Let no things of earth allure you from the way the Lord would lead. Let your life in Him be hidden. Him exalt in word and deed. The theme for our staff this year at camp has been the Word of God. Just by way of explanation, this frame that's filling the chair to my right is there for a reason. It usually hangs in that back room behind that door, and I'm sure many of you who have been to camp have never even seen it. But this is an interesting place, and if you have time, you ought to walk around and look at the things that hang on the wall. Now everyone's looking around. What am I missing? Don't touch the vases on the mantle. I did that one year, and after the meeting, I was scolded. What if you drop that vase? Did you? No. Brother Paul didn't scold me. He just told me how much they were worth. So, but this is actually a reproduction, I would think, of a page from the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. Is that right, Brother Paul?
That's the real thing.
This is the real thing?
Wow.
I better go hang it back. Yeah, I always do this. Oh well. Greg, you wanted to know if it was heavy, right? Were you going to put it in your suitcase?
Yes.
Now you know it's the real thing. But wow, that makes it even more special now. But if you know anything about math, that would be 400 years ago. So our attention has been drawn to the Word of God, and for these 2 weeks I also chose that theme of God's Word. And so we've been looking into God's Word together, and we've found that God's Word is a living book. It still speaks today. It speaks in the same power as when it was first written, first spoken, and it speaks to our hearts. And it changes us. And just three verses tonight. I am a Waldvogel, so it's a little bit hard for me to be brief, but I will try. Just three verses that came to mind. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 2. I don't believe there's a want of hearing the Word of God, of being taught spiritual things. I think our day and age we have access to so many things, Christian things, good things, Christian books, and so much of the Bible being accessible to us. If you just consider the history of the English Bible and the men and women who gave their lives so that you and I could have a Bible in our language. It's a thing that we should treasure and highly treasure and love. And yet it's too often become commonplace to us. How many Bibles do you have in your house? How many translations do you have? And somehow there is that danger to lose the appreciation for God's Word. I understand in my father's house growing up, when I say my father's house, the house that he grew up in, his father also being a minister of the gospel, I understand that you could never put another book on top of the Bible. Now you might say, well, that's... But that's the respect that they gave to God's Word. That book was God's book. And it was highly valued, highly treasured. And here in the second chapter, well, in the first chapter, it starts off with this thought that God has spoken to us. God in times past spoke by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. His Son being the expressed image of his person, he showed us exactly who God was like. He brought that message to us. This is what God is like. He spoke in these last days by the Word, Jesus Christ. And in the second chapter, he gives them a warning. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, again, just bear with me. This is, to me, a closing meeting for this time with this group of staff and those that have been with us. And I'd like to just give you this warning. You've heard much. God has spoken. We've heard it in the testimonies. God has done something for us. He's given us his word. He's made himself real to us. We've heard his voice. And that's a precious thing. And so he says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. There's a danger that we lose out, that we get back into life as it is, you know. I've been here 2 weeks. It's like I don't have another life. I was telling my wife, we should just stay here. It's great here. God is just like all over the place, you know. It's wonderful. But no, I have to go home. I go back to Brooklyn, Queens, the city. And the danger is that when we get back to that, you know, life as usual, we forget. And we're drawn away. And those things that God put in us, the word he spoke to us, the way he made himself real to us, we tend to lose out. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them, or unto us, by them that heard him? Here the writer to the Hebrews is reminding this people, we've given you the word of the Lord. It's been passed down. There were those who were eyewitnesses, who walked with him, who talked with him, and they passed on the message to us, this message of salvation. And now it's being passed on to you and to me. We've been given this book, God's word to us. So great salvation. Not only are my sins forgiven, not only am I free from guilt, not only do I have a hope of heaven, but I have a Savior who's with me all the time. So great salvation. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. Do we want to lose out on that precious relationship, fellowship with the Son of God? He lives in me. He overcomes through me. I can please the Father because Jesus lives out his life in me. So great salvation. It was in that song, "Let your bodies be presented as a living sacrifice." Who do I present that body to? It's to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, fills me, makes Jesus real to me. So great salvation. And so let's not let these things slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It has the thought there. It's not so much that I just cast it aside, you know, and say I don't want it. but it's that I just let it, you know, just lay there and I don't really pay attention to it. I neglect it. I don't cultivate it. God has begun a work in us, but that work needs cultivation. It needs to be nurtured. We need to continue seeking Him, reading His Word, spending time in prayer, waiting upon Him, praising Him. That precious gift of full salvation needs to be nurtured, cared for. We need to be diligent. There's a verse in the Gospel of John. It's in the 8th chapter. In the 31st verse. In the 30th verse it says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. You know, sometimes we think that Jesus was not well received, and that's true. But the common people heard him gladly, and there were many. And even among the rulers, you know, Nicodemus was one, and who came to Jesus by night, and Joseph of Arimathea, these leaders, members of the Sanhedrin, yet they put their faith in him. But he had this word for them, those who had put their faith in him. He says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, the NIV puts it this way, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. It seems to indicate it's not enough just to believe. Not enough to assent to the fact that God's word is true. Jesus has spoken to me. I believe what he said is the truth. It's right. I need it. But there seems to be a living that out that's so important. I think we live in an age where we're information overloaded. I don't know. That's not a good phrase, but you understand what I mean? We have access to information. And we don't want to treat God's Word that way. It's not just information. You know, it's spirit and life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. There is no other book like the Bible. No other word spoken that can change my life, change my heart. But it's in the doing of them. You know, we had that parable or that story of the two builders. Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and then he told them that story, the two houses. And I believe the houses looked exactly the same. From the outside, you couldn't tell. But the difference was in the foundation. And Jesus likened that to, now you've heard my teachings, you've heard my sayings. But the house that stands the test, the house that doesn't fall down when the storms come, is the house of the one who does what I say. Who puts into practice, who applies my teaching to their life. You know, we need to live the truth. Not only believe it, but live it. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so I'd just like to encourage us. We need to continue continue in the way God has led us in these days. Put into practice the things that He's taught us. Because then we truly will be His disciples. Truly be His followers. And just one other verse this morning, and this has to do with my cell phone. Anybody, I should say, you all know what a widget is, right? A widget. You have no idea what a widget is? Well, I didn't know until just a few months ago. Well, anyway, a widget. I thought a widget was just some useless little gadget, right? And basically that's what they are, I think, you know, except they're on our phones now. And so I have a widget with a verse. Every day it comes with a new verse, you know. And you can get that on your phone. And I have like 27 translations of the Bible. Right? You have that too? Yeah. Where's your Bible?
It's right here.
Oh, well, look at that. But I have a widget, and today's verse, and it didn't strike me until I was sitting here and our brother called out that song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. And I associate that song, and maybe this is a little bit strange, but I associate that song with funerals. And I like to sing that at the grave. Just to remind us, you know, the closing of that. Sometimes it can be just such a sorrowful time, and we sense that loss, and we commit that loved one to the ground. And yet we do that in hope of the resurrection. And so after we do that, I like to sing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And so my mind went to that verse in Corinthians, and then I remembered it was my verse for today. 1 Corinthians 15. At the end of that great chapter that speaks of the resurrection, our hope as believers, how Christ's resurrection really is the cornerstone of our faith, and without that our faith is worthless. Now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And at the end of that chapter there's some verses that again speak to us about persevering. And that song, When We All Get to Heaven, I believe it's taken in part from the thoughts that are expressed here. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I look at you young people and I see the wonderful service that you have rendered unto God in these days. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. Young people who want to live for God and serve Him and come to camp and volunteer your time. They pay me to be here. No, they don't. But someone gave me a candy bar. Thank you. Someone gave me a candy bar.
What kind of candy bar?
Special Dog Christian. Thank you, brother. My favorite. But the call is to remain true to God's work. You know, you go home to your churches and you might say, well, you know, I'm in the youth group and, you know, we do our own little thing and we're not really part of the church, you know, all the time. But, you know, you can serve God at home. And what you've learned here and the way you've given yourselves to God here at camp, you can do that. Don't you think that would be right? I mean, it doesn't stop now. Once we get past that sign, we're like, we're free. We should learn to serve. Maybe go to your parents and say, what can I do? What can I do? And maybe there's a class that you can teach, or maybe there's some work that you could do in your church. Or maybe it's just something, you know, unknown. There's so many hidden jobs in a church that nobody even knows about. And yet are necessary and needful. And maybe the pastor is doing them, and just you coming along and helping him, that would, you know, relieve him of something. But get involved in God's work. Learn to serve where God has placed you. Lord, what could I do? Maybe a vacation Bible school is coming up. I was teasing Luke. I think he has a week left of vacation. So I said, Luke, come teach vacation Bible school, Williamsburg. All right, you got the message? Don't just go home and sit in the pew. Go home with a little fire and spunk, I was going to say, enthusiasm for God. And fill the place God has for you. The Bible says, let no man despise your youth. Be an example in your church of one that loves God, seeks His face, and then have that desire to serve Him. And it's always interested me why these verses are where, you know, why are they here at the end of this chapter? It's an interesting place. Why are they here? What do you think? Now, I know I've thought about it and you haven't, so I have that up. But what do you think? What is this chapter about? Well, one thing it tells us is that there's something beyond this world. There's something beyond the things that we see, the natural. These bodies will die and decay unless the Lord comes. You know, every one of us will be laid to rest. But in light of eternity, in light of the fact that this world is not my home, then I should focus on the things that are eternal. Focus on the things that will last. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And so I like to encourage us as we go back to life in the city or wherever we go back home, that we would keep the eternal perspective that we've received here. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there are two things in the Bible that or two things that the Bible says abide forever, last forever. One is His Word. The Word of God abideth forever. And the other one is, He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Whatever we do for Christ, whatever we allow Christ to do through us, will last for eternity. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so, I give these verses to you. What was the first thing, the warning? What was the warning? In Hebrews, don't let these things slip. Don't neglect so great salvation. And the second one was about, come on, help me. Continuing. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, you're my disciples indeed. And this last one, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. Let's give ourselves wholeheartedly to Him. I'm so blessed, you know, how the Lord introduces things as we're obedient to Him. And I was blessed by your testimonies and just that song that Luke brought to remembrance. Nothing less than full surrender. Let's just give ourselves to Jesus. Why do we hold back? Lord, I give everything. I just lay everything at your feet. My life is yours. It's in your hands. Lord, I'm not my own. You purchased me. And so take my life. Take me and make me what I ought to be, what you desire I be. And so that call comes again to our hearts. Jesus desires us fully. And we want to give ourselves to him unreservedly. Lord, I'm yours for time and for eternity. Let no things of earth allure you from the way the Lord would lead. Let your life in him be hidden. Him exalt in word and deed. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we respond joyfully. Lord, we give ourselves to you.